Today on Renewing Your Mind.
There are no resources down here on earth to make you the new man you need to be. You have been born of the flesh, but you need to be born from above, born of the Spirit.
Dr. Sinclair Ferguson teaches about the heavenly birth next. We're glad you've joined us today on Renewing Your Mind as we begin a new series from Ligonier Teaching Fellow Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. I'm Lee Webb. Dr. Ferguson will be spending the week with us teaching on the Holy Spirit. You know, we in the Reformed camp have been accused of not focusing enough on the Holy Spirit. Whether that criticism is fair or unfair, we do believe it's vital to understand the work of the third person of the Trinity. So Dr. Ferguson is here to shed light on the vital role that the Holy Spirit plays, from creation to dwelling in the hearts of believers today. Dr. Ferguson is a visiting professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, and previously served as the senior minister of the historic First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, South Carolina. He's been a close and valued friend of Dr. Sproul's for many years, and we're honored to have him with us today. So let's join him in the classroom now as he teaches the lesson, A Heavenly Birth. As he gets started, he's discussing the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples.
At this point in our studies, we are beginning to turn from thinking about the story of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of individual believers like ourselves. And so Jesus says in John 16, 8 through 11, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And this happens on the day of Pentecost. The people hear the gospel, they see the power of the Spirit, they are convicted of their sin, and they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, how is the Holy Spirit involved in bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ? And part of the answer to that question is, the Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus Christ by his work of regeneration, by giving us the new birth. And of course, the great passage in which this is discussed in the New Testament is the third chapter of John's Gospel. Marvelous description of the conversation between the Lord Jesus and this distinguished Pharisee, Nicodemus, who's described in John 3:1 as a ruler of the Jews, and whom later Jesus describes actually as the great theologian in Israel. John chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things?" So here is a remarkable man. He is a Pharisee. He's deeply committed to the way of righteousness. There's a certain graciousness about him. He comes to Jesus and he shows Jesus a certain kind of honor that many Pharisees didn't show. And he is the great theologian in Israel. He is the name on everybody's lips. If you want theological counsel and advice, they immediately think Nicodemus is your man. And yet Jesus says to him, "Are you the teacher of all Israel? And you don't understand what it means to experience the new birth." So this is an enormously significant thing, and it's also a very striking thing that it's possible to do a great deal in religion, to know a great deal about religion, and yet never to have experienced this regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in which he gives new birth. Bishop Ryle, great Anglican bishop, comments on these verses and says, "A man may be ignorant of many things in religion and be saved, but to be ignorant of the matters that are handled in this chapter is to be on the high road that leads to destruction." So it's vital for us to understand what Jesus means when he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. In our Christian theology and doctrine, the word regeneration features very largely. But it's an interesting thing. I wonder if you know this. The New Testament uses the word regeneration on only two occasions. One occasion in the Gospels, when Jesus is thinking about the final regeneration of all things in Matthew chapter 19. So there, the word regeneration means the restoration of the entire cosmos so that it may breathe the glory of God. And the other place, of course, is in Titus chapter 3, where Paul speaks about the washing of regeneration. But although the word regeneration is infrequently used, the language of birth and new birth that brings us into the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit is very frequently found. And that's why it's so important for us to understand what Jesus is saying. And I want you to notice just four things from this enormously significant passage that will help us to understand the Lord Jesus' teaching. First of all, notice what he says about the origin of this birth. My spiritual mentor in Scotland from the age of 17 onwards was a wonderful minister by the name of William Still. His church stood on the main street of the city of Aberdeen, and he had a huge notice board outside the church, partly because there was a bus stop just outside the church. And you know, in Scotland, public transport's wonderful by comparison with many other places. The buses would stop, and people would look out the window, and they would see this notice. And I remember one week he had on this large notice board the words, "You must be born anothen." You must be born anothen. And people would look at it and think, surely there's a mistake somewhere. Some people even phoned him, which of course was one of the reasons he put the notice board there. What do you mean you must be born anothen? Now, anothen is the Greek word that's used here in John chapter 3, and it actually conveys the idea of something that comes downwards from above. Remember how when Jesus was crucified, the temple curtain was torn in two, and our translations say something like, from the top to the bottom. That's the language that's being used. And even here later on in John chapter 3, when Jesus says these wonderful words, he tells us, he who comes from above is above all, comes from above. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again, he means you must be born from above. The birth you've already had, Nicodemus, is a birth that comes from below. You're the product, doubtless under the providence of God, of the love of your father and your mother. You have had an earthly birth. But Nicodemus, if you're ever going to enter the kingdom of God, you need to have a heavenly birth. And that heavenly birth comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus emphasizes that, doesn't he, in verse 5? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And again, in verse 6, he says the same thing, essentially. What's born of the flesh is flesh. Only what's born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he uses this marvelous illustration of the wind blowing. Now, that's significant, isn't it? Pneuma means both wind and spirit. He says, how do you understand the wind? It's invisible, but you see its effects. And in the same way, it's true of anyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Now, what's he teaching Nicodemus? He's teaching Nicodemus essentially this. There are no resources down here on earth to make you the new man you need to be if you're going to be part of God's kingdom. You have been born of the flesh, but you need to be born from above, born of the Spirit. So the origin of this new birth is found in the Holy Spirit, who will come down to us from above. We have no resources in ourselves to give ourselves the new birth. The Holy Spirit has all of those resources, and only He can give us the new birth. Second, this picture that Jesus draws teaches something about the bestowal of the new birth, how it's given to us. Remember what he says again here in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's come from. You don't know where it's going to. You can almost imagine the scene. They're sitting there in the evening. The wind is getting up, and perhaps there's some trees outside the house where Jesus is, and you can almost imagine the wind blowing and the rustling of the leaves and Jesus saying, Nicodemus, it's like that. It's only when you see the effect on the leaves of the wind that you know which way the wind is blowing, because the wind blows wherever it wills, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, we could misunderstand these words because we know Christians and nobody seems to know where they come from and nobody seems to know where they go to, and they could be misunderstood to say, you know, the work of the Spirit makes you a free spirit. That's not what Jesus means at all. What Jesus means is that the wind is not under your control. The wind does not obey the desires of the leaves. The wind blows sovereignly. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is an absolute sovereign work of God to which we contribute absolutely nothing. The new birth, God Himself, by His Spirit, does sovereignly. And this is actually the teaching of the rest of the New Testament. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, and it's echoed in James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of His own will, God begat us that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Of His own will. That's humbling, isn't it? Do you know, we still have lingering in our Christian world the notion that God does 70% of it, or 90% of it, or 98% of it, but there's always something that you need to contribute. You can contribute no more to your new birth than you contributed to your first birth. What did you contribute to your first birth? Did you decide to be born? Isn't that an astonishing thing? You know, when you begin to think about it and to think, I might not have been were it not for the desire of others, if it were not for the activity of others. I am not self-generated. Actually, John had made this clear earlier on in the prologue to the gospel when he had spoken in chapter 1 and verse 12 about those who come to believe in Jesus, who receive the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is a heavenly birth given through the Spirit. It's a sovereign birth given through the Spirit. And it's also, in the third place, a transforming birth. It has very decided effects in our lives. Remember again the little illustration, the wind blows, you don't know where it's come from, you don't know where it's going, but you hear its sound, you know it's present by its effects. How do we know that we've been born again? We can't look inside and say, oh, there goes the Holy Spirit giving me new birth. Any more than we could have said at our own conception, oops, I'm being conceived, or at our own birth, oh, I'm being born. No, we know we've been born because of the results, the effects of that birth. I want you to notice several striking effects that Jesus points out in his teaching to Nicodemus. First of all, in verse 3, I say to you, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, the implication is that once you are born again, you do see the kingdom of God. You see the power of God. You see that Jesus is king in his kingdom. The dying thief was born again on the cross and turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. The problem we have is that because of our sin, our minds, our understandings are darkened and we can't see the kingdom of God. And actually, Nicodemus is a prime illustration of that, isn't he? Jesus gives him this teaching, and Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again when he's old? And do you see what he's saying? Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, Jesus, I can't see that. I don't understand that. His mind is closed and darkened, and he can't take it in. But regeneration will illumine that mind so that he will see. Luke 24 is a beautiful illustration of how that happens, isn't it? The two on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize Jesus. And then as Jesus speaks to these darkened minds and distressed hearts, their hearts begin to burn within them, and they begin to see Jesus and recognize his kingdom. So, regeneration, the new birth, illumines our darkened minds. Regeneration also, verse 5, liberates our enslaved wills. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He isn't able to enter the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes people say to you, well, this gospel is very interesting. I'll put it off till later because I know later on I can do it. I sometimes say, well, show me that you'll be able to do it then by doing it now. Just will yourself to enter the kingdom of God. And you can will yourself to will and will and will, but you can't enter the kingdom of God because your will is bound. You are a slave. You are in bondage. But when the Holy Spirit comes and gives new birth, one of the glorious realities is you begin to will what you had realized you could never will yourself. Put it very simply, you want Jesus, and you didn't want Jesus before. And there's something else here, I think. Isn't it interesting that Jesus speaks here about being born of water and the Spirit? What do you think he means by being born of water and the Spirit? Well, some people think that it's just a reference to ordinary birth. Unless you're born normally and then you're born of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. But that would be a truism, wouldn't it? I mean, if you hadn't been born normally, you wouldn't be here. So what is Jesus saying? I think he's referring back to that prophecy in the book of Ezekiel when God says he's going to pour out his Spirit on people and he'll sprinkle clean water on them and they will be clean. And he's speaking here not so much about the illumination of the mind or about the liberation of the will, but about that transformation that takes place in our affections so that we are clean. We have this sense that we belong to the Lord, and our affections, our desires, are no longer directed downwards, but they are directed Christwards. One of my fellow countrymen, Thomas Chalmers, great figure in the 19th century, preached a sermon. It is a truly great sermon, but it's the title of the sermon that has attracted most notice, more than the content of the sermon. The title of the sermon was "The Expulsive Power of a New Affection." And that's what happens, isn't it? I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. My folks didn't start coming to church until after I was converted. But I was brought up in a home that was Sabbatarian. Although we never went to church, there was no gospel in it, but there was a lot of law in it. And so Sunday was the worst day in the whole week for me. It was boring. It was long. There were at least 48 hours on Sunday. I wasn't allowed to do anything. But there wasn't any gospel in place. And then I remember when I was converted, it wasn't something I worked up. It just happened that this day became the best of all days. And it's been that way ever since because of the transformation of the affections. But there's something else to notice here, and we mustn't ever lose sight of it. The effect of the new birth is our minds are illumined, our wills are liberated, our affections are transformed. But all this is so because the new birth brings us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we must never separate the teaching that's given in John 3 on the new birth from the teaching that's given in John 3 about believing in Jesus Christ. Sometimes people separate John 3:16 from John 3:1 through 15. And sometimes people separate John 3:1 through 8 from John 3:16. But they belong together, don't they? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the first and the great sign that we've been born again by the Holy Spirit. Not that we look downwards and inwards and say, oh my, I've been born again. We can think about that later on. But that we look outwards to the Lord Jesus and we come in faith to trust him and to serve him and to love him. You know, I think it's always a mistake when you're teaching to assume that everyone who hears the teaching is already a Christian believer. And so perhaps this is the point in our studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to ask the question, have you been born again? How would you know? You would know because you'd come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's Dr. Sinclair Ferguson here on Renewing Your Mind. Dr. Ferguson will be joining us over the next several programs teaching his series, Who is the Holy Spirit? It is vital that we come to a biblical understanding of the Holy Spirit's work and role. The goal of this series is to help us know the Holy Spirit as a person and to help us understand his power and work within believers. The series includes 12 23-minute lessons. And for your gift of any amount today, we'd love to send you all 12 lessons on DVD, plus the hard copy study guide. That's a great tool for you to use in your own study, or if you're planning to use this resource in a small group or Sunday school class. Again, the title of the series is Who is the Holy Spirit? And for your gift of any amount, we'll send it to you when you call us at 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift and make your request online at renewingyourmind.org. Today's lesson helped to clarify John chapter 3. man remains in darkness until the Holy Spirit brings his dead heart to life. It brings great clarity to the role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. And again, we'll send you the DVDs and the hard copy study guide for your gift of any amount. Again, our number is 800-435-4343, and our web address is renewingyourmind.org. Well, the trend these days seems to be packaging for convenience. Everything is made for us on the go. To-go cups of coffee, individually wrapped muffins for a speedy breakfast. Well, Ligonier is available on the go as well. Our free smartphone app can enhance your commute with teaching series and free streaming of these daily Renewing Your Mind episodes. Plus, there are articles, blog posts, and much more. So search for Ligonier in your app store. Well, tomorrow, as we continue this series, Dr. Ferguson will be showing us one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, that of Heavenly Helper. I hope you'll join us Tuesday on Renewing Your Mind.